Hello, NAMA members. This is Toby Milroy again, Chief Operating Officer for NAMA, the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. And we have sort of an eclectic and a very different call today. We do have, I think, about a minute and a half before we really kick off. So I've got just a few pre-call announcements and some things, some housekeeping logistics to get through. We are recording the call for today's purposes for our members to be able to listen back to and refer back to, you know, ad libitum. At the same time, we also have everyone right now muted in Q&A mode so that we've eliminated all the background noise. If we do have time at the end of the call for Q&A, we'll open the lines up and you'll be able to ask your questions at that point. A few quick housekeeping items and logistical items for today. We have several special guests on the line with us today. Of course, we have Master Dave Kovar and Master Steve LaValle tuning in with us here in a little while. Also, Master Stephen Oliver will be here with us in just a few minutes. And this is a little bit unusual for our regular monthly calls. Our regular monthly Maximum Impact calls are an ongoing benefit of to our NAMA Maximum Impact members. And basically, this is typically a what's working in today's market call. Each month, we're sharing with our members what's actually working in our schools in the Mahi Karate franchise locations, as well as in the over 1,000 NAMA member schools all over the world. So this is really a unique benefit to our members to really help keep them plugged into what's actually working in today's marketplace, not 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, but what's actually working today. So we're really excited to have all of our Maximum Impact members with us today, as well as a relatively large list of special guests we've invited. So that's what this is about on a normal recurring basis. I have two big sort of announcements for everyone on the call today, and I'll repeat this a couple of times throughout our call to make sure that everybody gets access. But we have five special free bonuses just for you for attending this call today. And we're going to be, I'll give you complete details of those special bonuses and exactly how to go get them at the end of the call. One of those special bonuses, as you saw on the landing page on the website, is a free one-day extraordinary marketing seminar with Stephen Oliver and myself preceding our event in Texas. So I'll be giving you all the details on that in just a little while. So you'll have to hang with us here, and I promise I'll tell you exactly what you need to do to be able to go take advantage of that. The second item on my agenda is that, of course, having Master Stephen Oliver at the helm of NAMA now has really opened up sort of a world of opportunity for our members in a couple of ways. Number one, we seem to be the victim right now of perhaps a 1-2-3 punch in the martial arts industry. Obviously, punch number one is this economic shakeup that we're having. And that's the primary focus for today's phone call. We're going to be talking about what is actually working in today's market with today's objections, with the fear and the skepticism that the average customer, the average client, the average prospect has. It's very different than just 1 year ago, very different than 5 years ago. So that's something that's sort of a unique benefit of this sort of process. The second unique, I think, proposition, the unique benefit of to our NAMA members, is the fact that we're only bringing you the stuff that is proven. You know, I mean, there's unfortunately the second punch, I think, after the bad economy is probably the prevalence of the UFC's dominance in the hearts and minds of our prospect base. And while I love to watch the sport, and I think Master LaValle and Master Kovar, I think we all love to watch the sport and we all love to do those things. But unfortunately, the average mom of a 9-year-old who's our target market, it's sort of a turnoff for them. It's not something that they're really excited about getting their 9-year-old involved with. So it's not the top-of-mind awareness that we enjoyed with the Karate Kid or with, you know, the Ninja Turtles type of a positive message to the marketplace. The third punch in this 1-2-3 punch that's really hurting the martial arts industry right now is this explosion of, and Master Oliver would have a more probably direct description of this, but this explosion of untested, unproven, invented yesterday on the internet consultants. And you know, Master Kovar, you know, feel free to chime in on this, by the way. But you and I and Master Oliver were all at the recent big event in Las Vegas, and as I walked around the trade floor, I saw, I believe, 5 was the number of people there who were 16 months ago or 12 months ago or 2 years ago coaching clients of Master Oliver's, who went from, you know, $8,000 or $9,000 a month in their school to $25,000 or $30,000 a month, and now thought that they figured it all out, and now decided that they were going to go teach a bunch of other school owners how to do what they just did, not having really the depth of understanding of how those processes really work in different markets and in different geography and in different economic times and those types of things. So that's sort of this 1-2-3 punch that the industry is being sort of pummeled with right now. We've got the economy, you know, taking big bites out of our marketplace. We've got this sort of negative perception, or at least in the family markets, of the UFC and that type of message. And then we have sort of these sort of untested, unproven entities out there sort of influencing the market with 20-year-old, 15-year-old information, or with stuff they just figured out yesterday and really don't have the depth of understanding to really understand how it's working in the real world. So that's why I think it's a unique opportunity for our members with yourself, Master Kovar, Master LaValle, and of course Stephen Oliver, because, you know, we really have schools, and they're really doing well, and we're really out in the marketplace testing new things, trying new systems, and of course relying on the proven systems that worked in the past. But we're always innovating, and I think that that's something that's very important, to be on the leading edge of all this stuff, rather than being, right, you know, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months behind. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, Toby, I've been here for a while listening to what you were saying, and I would add to it two things. One is, unlike the other people on the call, I despise the crap, so I am not a UFC fan. And Dave will tell you that since the first one they had that was here in Denver, Colorado, the day before our big national tournament at the time, the Mile High Karate Classic. So, you know, I have never, and by the way, this goes back to the PKA era, and I, on our Mile High conference call I was just on, was with Master Jeff Smith, and you know, he'll tell you the same is true with PKA in the heyday, and of course it never reached the level of viewership that UFC has. But among that group and Joe Corley and Jeff Smith and others, we always had the conversation. And June Ree was a PKA promoter, and we had events that were regularly televised, not on pay per view, but at least on ESPN. And I made the same comments about kickboxing as I make about UFC. Is it was a marvelous spectator sport, and the UFC is a marvelous spectator sport, in my opinion, aimed at 18 to 35 year olds who are a marvelous target demographic. It's the Maxim magazine target demographic, which is in part why, you know, Maxim has done quite well. And so it's a marvelous target market for cars, and it's a marvelous target. So the Mustang and the Camaro and a lot of those market cars are aimed at that target demographic. It's a marvelous target demographic for Budweiser beer and frankly, a lot of other advertisers to spend a ton of money. Harley-Davidson is using it because they want to attract a younger crowd, because unfortunately they've ended up pigeonholed where Dave Kovar, Steve LaValle, and Stephen Oliver are their target demographic. You know, they're you know, upper income 50-year-olds, and they really need to get the 20 and 30-year-olds into their fold, and that's why they're using that. But anyway, I thought I would mention that. The other thing that I think merits mentioning, and it's certainly true of myself. I won't speak for Master Kovar or Master LaValle, but one thing that I know that every successful school owner that I know has in common is at one time or another we haven't been terribly successful. And in some cases it's started slow for a long time, struggled and tried to figure it out before coming in contact with a mentor or somebody who held them by the hand and showed them how to do it. You know, in my case it was start fast, set the world on fire, and then implode. And the other thing that happens along the way, and Master Colbert and I had this conversation about a year and a half ago, is just because you're very successful at something, and you can be a very successful boxer, a very successful UFC fighter, or a very successful school owner, the arenas are very similar, doesn't mean you're not going to get punched in the nose from time to time. And I know with all of us, when the market shifts, you know, there are some of us who are out ahead of it. You know, luckily I feel like in the last couple times I've been in front of it rather than behind it. But when the market shifts, I mean, it can, you know, it can sweep your legs out from under you, and you can get your bell rung, and then you have to get back in the game. And the difference between those who have been very successful and those who haven't is the ability to get your bell rung and get your head clear again and have it be you've lost the round, but you're still in the fight. And I think that's a very important component of this is, you know, if somebody's on the call and they feel like they've had their bell rung in the last quarter, it's time to get back in the fight. And the way you get back in the fight is have, you know, relevant information of what is, in fact, working in the current economy from people who are out there doing it and are perhaps 3, 6, 9, or even 18 months ahead of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think what goes along with that, which by the way, behind the scenes for everybody in the call, one of my projects of late at NAMA has been to reinvent the Napoleon Hill process with martial arts school operators. And what you're saying is exactly right. There's a commonality between yourself, Bill Clark, Steve LaValle, Dave Kovar, Keith Hafner, you name the name. But each one of you at some point have had a really, really tough time. And you know, many bankruptcies, many of these in common. But I think that's part of what you guys have accomplished and brought to the table is the fact that you not only can come through those things and be bigger, better, stronger, but in fact that was one of the things that made you do that, right? So that's interesting enough. But the second piece of that is what you said. Second is, you need to have somebody, you need to have a mentor. You need to have somebody who's been through it to pat you on the head and say, listen, not only here's what's working, but here's why. And the why is, in many cases, more important than actually the what. So we're going to talk a lot about that today. But, Master Oliver, the last thing on my agenda today, before I'd love for you and Master Kovar to dominate the rest of the conversation, is that at the end of the call, I will be letting everybody know exactly how to go collect those 5 free bonuses, including the free one-day extraordinary marketing seminar, which normally is a $1,200 day, and it's going to be yours absolutely free. I think that's a tremendous benefit and bonus for anybody who's on the call today, as well as being able to save $500 or more on our upcoming NAMA Extreme Success Academy coming up in Texas. And the reason we're doing that is because we know that the martial arts industry right now has to evolve. It has to go through a little bit of pain to become what it's going to be in the next decade. And what it's going to be is going to be very different than what it is today and what it was yesterday. And we really already are on the leading edge of that, and we want to take people with us. We want the sharp, sophisticated, smart, entrepreneurial martial arts school owners who are at the top 20% of the industry or who want to be at the top 20% of the industry. And we want to take them there. We want to really show you exactly what we're doing in the schools that's working and what we've done that doesn't work to save you the time and energy and effort of doing it yourself. And that's really what this whole process is about, and it's really what today's about. So without any further ado, you've already heard, but Master Stephen Oliver is with us today and Master Dave Kovar. So thank you guys so much for taking the time.
Glad to be here.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And hey, let's let you dominate here, Master Kovar, for the next few minutes. And if I understand correctly, you've got a time limitation when you're going to have to kind of bail out about the time we have Master LaValle coming in. Is that correct?
Yes, that's about right.
Okay. So let's go straight at it. And I can't tell you how much fun I had with the two of us being able to be back on stage together in the spring, and I think we can take it up 3-4 notches here in the fall for everybody. But
that was a great time. That was a lot of
fun. Yeah, and you know, if I might be so bold, is I think we really managed to share some behind the scenes insider circles, which isn't the do 22 breakouts and everybody give their normal 45-minute presentation. I mean, it was really, really, I think, then at a depth, and again in the fall it needs to be even further at a depth, that's unusual in the industry and particularly useful. What's your perspective on that, Master Cobra?
Yeah, I really felt like it was really fun just getting up there and exchanging ideas and having people there to contribute to it. I think for myself, I walked away with some great reminders and some new distinctions. And it's really about, you know, in order to be a champion, you have to fight like a challenger. And I think in the last 10, 15 years, we, to a certain degree, we've been spoiled as an industry. You know, it's like it's been pretty easy to get new members. Okay, it's not as easy for a lot of us now, so it's okay. It just means we have to get up and work hard and smart. And, you know, there's so many things that go into that. I know for one of the things that's been great for me is just having a great networking team and mentors. You and I have been networking for 20 years. Mr. Gokinos has just been such a great mentor for me and all my friends that I've met through him in the EFC, right? And now I continue to be able to have those relationships and expanded relationships. But what that does, man, when you have a, like what you're doing with your NAPMA team, it's just so beautiful to see these guys have some place to go to that they can really talk to someone that's been there before. And, you know, the good news, bad news about being self-employed and running your own martial arts school is you're your own boss, and that can be really good, but also sometimes we need someone to hold our feet to the fire. There's a certain amount of accountability that a group can get you, and I heard Master Toby talk about, you know, the think and grow rich model, I think he was referring to, and that's just really having a nice mastermind group, and we know the value of that. You know, when two or three people get together and network, they walk away with every one of them benefits more than than they would have if they didn't get that chance.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, in a year like this, and of course, you know, my theme last year at the Extreme Success Academy, which was a little bit controversial, was basically, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer in an economy like this. And I think, you know, truthfully, what we've seen a lot of going on in this economy is we've seen an awful lot more schools go out of business. And of course, you know, in NAPMA, and especially with the magazine, we have the opportunity to track these numbers. So we've seen an awful lot of more schools go out of business than in any previous periods that we've been tracking. I mean, there's been a lot of flow, but there always is turnover in every industry, and there's quite a bit of turnover in the martial arts industry. Probably 20% a year on average are going out of business, and Toby, I may be more like 30%. You have the numbers in front of you, I'm sure. But what we've seen this year is the industry as a whole has dipped. So instead of there being 18,000 commercial schools in the United States, I think we're down to about 15,000. So that's a pretty dramatic shift.
I guess.
And what happens is I believe that people like you, myself, we were just having conversations with Master Clark and with Keith Hafner, and of course we'll be talking to Steele Valley today. But I know what happens is it's not that we don't feel the impact, but it's that we've been there, done that before, been through the cycles before, and have some distinctions that we can get in there and adapt fairly quickly, and may have some challenges with a shifting economy, but can, you know, adapt to it, change strategies, and then now what we're certainly willing to do is share them with everybody else and show them what it is we've learned. So,
you know, I'd like to...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've got a few things that I think are just crucial that we don't forget. And, you know, kind of back to, you know, Vince Lombardi's quote when he took over, I believe it was the Colts. Someone asked him, what are you going to do? He goes, we're going to be brilliant in the basics, blocking and tackling. And
oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, it's this balance between making sure to be on the cutting edge of what's working. You got to know what's out there and what's working today, because it is different than 20 years ago. The flip side is we can't forget that at the core of our longevity of our school is pretty consistent with the way it's been, and that is that you got to teach great classes, right? You've got to have an environment that's incredibly friendly, and your school needs to be clean. These are all things that are within our, you know, regardless of what's going on outside, that's within our capabilities. You know, we've got to run our business like a business, and then we've got to be recruiting every day. It's got to be something that's just that is oozing from every pore of our being. This is what I'm out there. I'm promoting my school, and rather than, I know you deal with these people probably as I do, frequently I'll get a call from someone that's challenged right now, and okay, it is what it is. But a lot of times people spend so much time justifying why they're not successful, they could take that same amount of time and they could put it into getting on the call, you know, on the phone and calling old students, or you know, going business to business, because the bottom line is there's still plenty of people out there that want what we have, and we just got to make sure that we work a little harder to get there, and then we've got to make sure that when they come into our school, we wow them, because people always have the time and money, the things that are most valuable for them.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Master Oliver, if I could jump in there real quick,
because
you just mentioned a couple things. What we're seeing, Master Kovar, and I'm sure you are too, and we haven't talked about this ahead of time, but what we're seeing right now is a much more skeptical prospect. We're seeing people who basically just have their defense shields up, and they're basically psychologically saying to themselves, look, the economy sucks. I'm not getting involved in anything right now. So it's not that they don't want martial arts. It's not that they don't want the training. It's not that they don't want, you know, character development for their kids. It's just they're scared. So what we're seeing is if we can slip in under that defense shield,
yep,
delivering content, delivering a relationship-building sale, not just a sale. See, what worked 2 years ago was go directly at them, hey, by the way, does your 9-year-old need confidence? Oh, my God, yes, he does. And they come in, right? Well, that's not working so well anymore. Now what's working for us is building a relationship with that prospect base. How have you seen that change over the last several months, maybe year?
Well,
what are you guys doing to adjust to that?
You know, what we've done is we have done something that I was actually – I wasn't really too excited about doing it, but this is our second summer, and we're having great results with it, is we did a call to action that was a lot cheaper than we've ever done. We did 2 months for $99. And I just wasn't really excited about that because I was concerned about the obviously that's it easy, but what happens at the end of that? And now you've got someone's perceived values at $50 a month, and of course we can't stay in business at that rate, right? But I'll tell you what that's done is that's such an easy, it eliminates barriers so much. It's such an easy thing to talk about when you're out and about. And it's such an easy way to get someone in the door. And then, so we've actually had great success with that this summer. Now, right now we're in the process of converting that onto a regular program. And really, our results are at all our locations are across the board, and it's really based on twofold. Number one is how well the classes are going at that facility, and how intense or on track the program directors are in executing on the plan. And if the classes are running well and the program director has the game plan as to how to do the conversion, we're having pretty good success with it. So that's how we've combated. We've decided, okay, people are concerned about price more than they were in the past, so let's give them a price they can't refuse, and let's just make it a point to let them understand in that first month of training that their kid absolutely has to do this. In other words, you know, forget about saving for college. You know, they should spend that money right now on their child's education. That's what we're trying to make the program so good in that initial month that that's the feeling they leave. And we don't get it all the time, but we're doing pretty good with it.
Yeah. I think to leap off of that, what you said, Toby, was relationship has always been important. Mm-hmm. It is what you get, and Master Kovar said earlier, is, you know, you get spoiled.
Yep.
By the fact that there's a certain number of people coming in and there's a certain volume of people coming in. And the schools who have performed at the highest level, you know, and take Master Kovar and I's mutual friends, I can think of Buzz Durk and Keith Hafner as two good examples of this, they've always had an incredible focus on having a very high-level personal relationship with each and every student, each and every family. And you know, and honestly, the way that you go from, you know, a nice little school that's, you know, generating $4,000 or $5,000 a month to one that with the same volume level that's 3 or 4 or 5 times as profitable is by truly creating raving fanatics with all of your students. And the thing that I think has changed in the market, frankly, is not that there's a more of a need to build a relationship with students. What's changed in the market is the skepticism of people coming in, and what I think is that's about is two things. One is we don't have the media building the picture of what quality martial arts instruction for kids and family are right now like we had in the past. You know, the media attention to martial arts, in my opinion, is extremely counterproductive for us. So what we have to do is overcome that skepticism. right then and there. And then number two is, you know, people have rolled back on their thinking about extravagances and how they can spend money, although I think that's massively overplayed right now by the media. I can give you anecdotally, but, you know, a personal example. As you know, Rob Tucker and I were in a car wreck a couple months ago. We got rear-ended in my Mercedes, and the insurance company decided to total it. So I've now been out, you know, and this is Jody's car, so I've been out with Jody at BMW, Lexus, and Mercedes dealerships all over the Denver metropolitan area, and I can tell you that 9 out of 10 of the salesmen we deal with are horrible. So we've had two things go on. One is talk with a whole bunch of guys who never really ask questions, never really figure out what specifically she's looking for, because she's very specific about what it is she wants and doesn't want. Three is they let us get away without having an email address, a phone number, a mailing address, any kind of contact information.
And then these people are turning right around and saying that the economy is what's costing them, why they're not selling well.
Well, that's right. That's right. I can point out four different salespeople who would have sold a $50,000 car, all of whom just let it walk through their fingers, either through inattention or lack of follow-up. You know, and there's four different guys who are now blaming the economy for their sales being bad.
Yeah, well, you know, Matt Oliver, I know you can attest to this, and being a father, is that even when, we will spend things on our kids, and we can't forget that. You know, I have 11 and 14-year-old, and there's nothing that I won't do for them or get for them if I feel it's going to help their development. You know what I'm saying? And if they,
well, that's right.
There's grandmothers out there, then grandfather. We just have to sometimes get more creative when that we have that parent that says we can't afford the program. You know, if we build value in the program and we help them figure out how they can do it, man, we can overcome that.
Well, and about to validate what you're saying from a different level is, All of the tracking is that private school enrollments are way up this year.
Yes.
And so at the higher levels, even though people may be cutting back on some kind of expenditures, they may not be buying Chevys as much as they were, but they're still putting their kids in private schools. And I don't know the inside numbers, but I imagine Sylvan, Huntington, Kumon, all of those organizations are doing well as well.
You know, I wanted the one comment that I think that I've been really stressing with my team, and it's the "Do you know what they did?" comment. And let me say that a couple different ways. What we're trying to do is talking about raving fans is have someone say about our program, "Do you know what they did?" Meaning we went above and beyond the call of duty. You know, we did something that was whatever it might be. You know, the person missed a class, so we made a private lesson. All the stuff that we know we should do, right? That we really execute versus, do you know what they did? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so much of that right now really, that's how we can keep, you know, that word of mouth being as positive as possible, you know, just really can make a big difference. And so when you have those parents that are out there, once again, if we can just do a great job on the floor and do what we should be doing and teaching quality martial arts and all the back, the follow-up stuff, that's just going to make the whole process of getting through this challenging time that much easier.
That's right. That's right. And to expand on what you just said is, again, all the studies show is that if I am happy with the service, and I can think of restaurants and dry cleaners and lots of other things, but if you're just happy with the service, you don't go out of your way to drag your friends over. You really have to be blown away. And, you know, what a lot of us think is, we taught exciting classes, they were fun, the students are making normal progress, and all of a sudden we're going to get a ton of referrals. Well, it doesn't work that way. I mean, it really has to be where the personal relationship is incredibly tight. They want to help you, they like you, and they want to support the school. And then it has to go to the next level of you went so far and beyond what their expectations were, they were blown away. I know one of the things we've been having our instructors do in My Life Karate is they pick a kid each week or a couple kids each week and go have lunch with them at their elementary school. Well, you know, I got to tell you, the response to that is just overwhelming.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up on top of that is then we've got to allow them the opportunity to bring their friends in. You know, they can be a raving fan, but if we haven't asked them to invite friends in, then they may stop there. So we've got to create events. on a regular basis that allow these people to bring in their fans and their friends. And so that's like sometimes people might miss out on that aspect. There's got to be, you got to make it as easy as possible for your students to refer friends to your school.
Well, that's right. Let's explain that. Is a lot of people think that I can give the student a stack of guest passes and tell them to go recruit their friends, and it's going to work. And see, the problem with that is, of course, is that, you know, that your student doesn't know how to go pitch karate lessons to their friends. And what we've seen with everybody who's really good at referrals, and certainly your schools are, our schools are, Stila Valley schools are some of the best I've ever seen at that, is it's event-based. It is creating comfortable ways for the student to invite their friends to come do or see something that's fun. And, you know, it's a natural thing for a 7-year-old girl to say to her other friends, hey, there's this thing I'm going to, you want to come. It's something completely different than she tries to talk them into coming down and taking a karate lesson with her.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And Master Oliver, I know that you have to make room for Master Lavalle, and I have to get off the phone pretty quick. And I wanted to share, if you wouldn't mind, I wanted to kind of go through four retention tips before I leave you. And so first off, these are simple things that most of us out there are probably doing, but they're great reminders. And number one is, as far as retention, is be happy to see your students. It sounds so simple. But when they come in, you've run into a friend in the mall that was so happy to see you, and it makes you feel pretty good, right? Well, when the instructor is happy to see the students, it's kind of like it's the cheer syndrome, and where everybody knows their name, right? So just that's a great starting point, okay? Number two is a sense of accountability to hold their if you can get in the habit of every time the kids at the end of class, if you say, who's going to be in next Monday? And show of hands, all right? And you just make them, get them to make a commitment as to when they're going to be in again, if you can link this class to the next class. Number three is to encourage socialization. And that is, of course, I don't mean that in the middle of class, but I'm talking about that the more people are link through friendships through your school, the more likely they're going to stick around. They're going to kind of, when one guy's not as motivated, he's going to show up to class because his buddies are there, right? This goes for people of all ages. And then the fourth one is, and this sounds kind of Pollyanna-ish, if that's the word, but it's so true, is we got to believe they can succeed. In other words, we've got to, we've all had students that kind of started out like ducks that we turned into eagles, right? And we can't forget that. The next time that we have someone that's a little bit uncoordinated or out of shape or lacks some skills, we got to, we got to remember, hey, we've helped other people get there. Because I'm always reminded, I see someone, I'm thinking to myself, no way they're going to make it. I go, wait a minute, that's the wrong mindset. And I can recall in my, off the top of my head, several people that were worse, less coordinated that were able to succeed. But I think that's just, at the end of the day, that's one aspect to keep that active talent strong, is that those are great little tips that will help that retention.
Oh, absolutely. And Master Cobra, let's give them a real quick sneak preview. You're going to be at the Extreme Success Academy in October. We're going to be in San Antonio, Texas, in the beautiful Riverwalk area of San Antonio. I'm really excited to be there.
My favorite place on the planet.
Here.
It's gorgeous.
Is it?
Oh yeah, that's where I proposed to my wife there. It's unbelievable. If you've never been there, I know the Extreme Success Academy will be a great value, but just being away there in that area is just pretty amazing.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I haven't been there in years, and I'm really looking forward to it. I do know that we have a spectacular lineup of people who are really doing it today in today's market, and obviously nobody on the list is a flash in the pan who just kind of went to your ProMac or went to my coaching, and now they're an expert. These are people like you and I who have been in the industry for 25 years and 30 years, but are actually doing it in today's market and in the current environment. And I'm really going to insist that we pull out and share what is common traits among everybody, but also get behind the scenes and hear what we're not normally exposed to, both the good and the bad, so people can understand what it's really like to achieve at a high level.
Well, I'm looking forward to being there, and I appreciate being on the call today, and all the best to you and everybody out there, and Master Lavalle, oos to you, friend.
Oos! Kiyoshi Dave, how are you, sir?
Life is good, sir. Life is good.
Excellent.
All right. Well, all the best to everybody. Take care.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you,
Goodbye.
Sir. Steve, sounds like you're coming off a class, so we're going to have to pump up our energy level here to keep up with you.
Hey, that was a nice call, wasn't it? Nice talking to you.
Hey, let's you pick up where he left off. What are three or four tips for improving your student retention, improving your relationship with students?
Okay, I don't know where we left off because I just came into the call. So we're full
track. Master Kovar had four tips on the way out to improve your relationship and your student retention, which is be happy to see your students, get them to make a commitment for their next time and their follow-up and attendance. Create socialization, get them to work with each other and know each other so that if nothing else, they're coming to class to see their friends and truly believe they can succeed.
Well, I think that everybody knows that right now you got to stand out above and beyond. And I think anything you're doing to show your students how much you do care about them, how much you appreciate them, and how much your program is vital to their life outside of the dojo. So I think the more personal contact you can make, the more you can do to see that your rapport remains very strong with your students, the more that you're seeing that their progress is on track. And by progress, I don't just mean necessarily receiving a belt, a tip, or a rank, but that they're seeing positive progress that's impacting their lives. And I know you're a big believer in seeing that they're learning more than just martial arts. Leadership skills, you know, a good positive message. And we just got done with an instructor training session a little while ago, and I was just saying, every student's got to leave the school feeling better than they did when they came in. So if they know this is the place that makes them feel good, they're going to keep coming back for more. And that's true whether they're 4 years old or my oldest student training right now is 74 years old. So
spectacular, spectacular. And the To leapfrog off of this, I'm really looking forward to having all of us in the same room in San Antonio, Texas, and we're going to have Keith Hafner, yourself, Dave Kovar, myself, Toby Milroy, Jeff Smith, Rob Tucker, and Bill Clark. And one of the things that I feel do really differently at this event is rather than having five rooms going and everybody gives their 45-minute standard pitch, is really get the same people together at the table and share what's going on and what the commonalities are. And truthfully, an awful lot of people who are out there pitching information right now are one of two categories. Toby talked about this earlier. They're either they just went through your Maui or Dave's Pro Mac thing or my coaching program and all of a sudden they became an overnight expert. Or number two is, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who last time they really ran a school successfully, if they ever did, was 10 years ago and are now still kind of teaching things out of the past. And I believe that the industry has changed, you know, 10 or 12 times since I've been in it and certainly have made three or four major shifts.
And especially, I'd say it's shifted especially these last few years. And Steve, you know, I've been down in Florida now 15 years. And yeah. when we first came down to Florida, my initial assessment was there was a lot of good Taekwondo schools. Most of them were geared towards kids. So I could see that we had a niche with the adult market. You know, we opened up next to a Gold's Gym, and that proved to be true. We built a very good adult student body, and then also added in the kids program, et cetera. But since then, we're now surrounded by high-caliber martial arts talent that may be a different market they're going after, but in our particular segment in South Florida, Master Clark has schools, American Top Team is down here, there's tons of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu schools now, and many of the Taekwondo schools that were originally here have either disappeared or they've kind of come down to a smaller number of schools that they're operating. So the market in our particular segment in South Florida, including upstate New York, has gone through drastic change from that point of view. But from another point of view, I think we've got a more educated consumer. You know, you're dealing with now the average father or mother that brings in their child for martial arts has probably studied the martial arts before, at least been exposed to it. And many of them think they're good at it because they're watching it on TV or whatever. So,
well, the thing I know that we both have, and so does Dave Kovar, is, you know, I've got a lot of second, even third generation families coming in now.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I know you've had a lot of them, but, you know, the dad studied with us when they were seven, and now they're bringing in their five-year-old.
Yes.
I even had one that the grandparent, the father, and now the grandchild study makes me feel a little aged there, but luckily you're older than I am, so I can...
Yes, not by much, though. Well,
yeah.
And you remember... you remember in Syracuse, you know, we've been up there since 1975 and still going strong. But we see a lot of that up in Syracuse because we really identified early on one of the key factors to success in the martial arts program, the way we offer it, which is very similar to the way you and Dave do, is very much go after a family unit. We're definitely a family-oriented martial arts training center.
Absolutely.
And within that, there's various pockets of people that might be more interested in kickboxing, more interested in, you know, mixed martial arts or whatever. But overall, we've still maintained that identity of a very strong family-oriented program. And I know that some of the most successful schools that I'm aware of in the country right now are operating with that same theme and that same identity.
Yeah, and it probably merits discussing 3 points real quick. And by the way, we're celebrating our 26-year anniversary this week. So
good for you.
So it's it doesn't seem a day over 50. But
I'm sure there's some days.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, on the other side, it just seems like yesterday. But let's talk about two things that you just said there, buried in that conversation. One is, and I think many of the organizations led people down this path, but one is the idea that a successful school is layer on additional curriculums so that people tend to think I'm running a $9,000 a month school. If I layer on a different thing, that's going to add another $3,000. And if I layer on a different thing, that's going to layer on another $3,000 or $4,000. The way I get to be a Steve LaValle or Stephen Oliver is I have a whole bunch of things going on. What's your thought about that?
Well, I think first of all, everybody's got to know what their core program is. You know,
yeah.
what is their main thing that they're really excellent at? If you want to add on various programs because you see the benefit of offering your student additional services, or it allows you to upgrade the value, or you feel it could really help the school develop a stronger identity, that's great, but you do need a core program, and you do need a core identity. And I think, too, in some cases, I've witnessed people that aren't doing mixed martial arts, they're doing mixed-up martial arts.
Yeah.
Right? And you can think back, you know, several years ago when Taibo first came out. There were many people that jumped on the cardio bandwagon to the point that they left their core program.
Yeah.
And when the winds were out of the sail, you know, we're gone from sailing that route, all of a sudden they no longer had a program that was building quality black belts, quality instructors, and really they lost their identity. So they had to almost, in many regards, start over. And that's the caution of going too far into one direction if it's truly not your expertise. You know, plus the difference then, Steve, versus now, as you know, you could probably, over the course of a few weeks, get really good at teaching cardio kickboxing, but you're not going to, over a course of a few weeks, get really good at teaching grappling or Muay Thai or mixed martial arts, because that does require skill, and that requires time and attention to really get good at it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, let me make what's been kind of a controversial statement get your take on it, whether you agree or not, is it seems to me, and I'll go back to the first UFC back when was held the day before my national tournament here in Denver years ago, is it seems to me what's happened to the industry is instructors see a new thing that comes on, and that becomes their new hobby. And suddenly their curriculum reflects their hobby rather than reflecting truly what their students want. And I've seen this with, first it was Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and now it's, you know, termed more mixed martial arts. But if I'm a 35-year-old instructor who's now hot to trot and excited about this new thing, is just because I am doesn't mean two things have happened. One, doesn't mean that I've truly mastered it to a level that I should be trying to teach other people. Two is it doesn't mean that I've looked at it in such a way that I've chunked the curriculum properly and created something that is duplicatable to my students. And three is it doesn't mean that it's something that the vast majority of the people that I either currently have in the school or that I'm attracting truly want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And And I don't know if you would agree with that or disagree with that.
I do agree with it, but I think it goes even before then, Steve. It could go back to tournament karate. You know,
go back
to the days when you know, people were living for tournament karate, but really only about 5% of their student body wanted to compete. You know, the rest are either forced into it or forced out of it, you know, and that, of course, went through a little bit of the era of kickboxing with PKA, et cetera. And I think that's going to be forever, though, because the instructor's enthusiasm is kept alive through their own training and their own direction and path. But again, I think you're making a good point. You got to make a clear decision. Is that allowing me to run my school at a successful, profitable level? And am I bringing strawberries? Am I putting strawberries on the hook for the fish? Or am I putting worms? Right? Because as you know, who went fishing, the fish want the worms. Right? I don't mean to refer to students as fish, but you know, the reality is we got to make sure we are supplying them with what they want. And here's a good case in point. I love, like Dave Kovar, I love jiu-jitsu. I'm going to private lessons tonight with Pedro Valente. I also love Muay Thai. I'm going to Colorado next week to train with Master Tran and his Muay Thai training. But, you know, I love those arts. However, I've got my national training center is, you know, 500 students that are following our traditional system and love it. And you give them a little bit of those arts, great, but you completely convert the school, we're likely to lose, especially the women that are currently training with us, because that's not, they don't like getting down on the ground and rolling around in a sweaty environment. And there's many guys that feel that same way. As many as there are a lot of people that are into it, there's just as many people that aren't into it as well.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah, man, that's Robert.
Yeah,
that's Robert. There may be one more dimension here, too, that we need to consider. And that's what's in the best interest of the longevity of the school, meaning that whatever you're producing in your school has to feed the school for the rest of its life. So if you're going to layer in, let's pick on MMA for just a minute. If you're going to layer on a mixed martial arts program and make that be the core program in your school, well, let me ask you a question. What system do you have in place to generate the next generation of instructors to teach MMA to the next generation of students? And see, those are the fundamental pieces of the puzzle it takes to run a business. You need to have the next new instructor in line. You need to have the next new family member in line. You need to have the next generation of students coming in line. And all of these bright, shiny objects like, the new jiu-jitsu program or the new MMA program or the new kickboxing program, they always seem to forget that piece. They always seem to forget that you have to be generating new staff members, and you have to be generating referrals, and you have to be generating, the things it takes to operate a business with longevity.
Right.
And Toby, to your point, there are some people that have that in mind and are using it to complement them very well. But then there are others, though, and this is going to be probably forever, that easily get distracted. I mean, we could all get distracted because, say, Steve, you've been in the martial arts, you know, for, what, 35 years now?
Yeah, 40, I think.
So think of all the changes that have gone on since then, you know, from Bruce Lee to Kung Fu to Ninja Turtles, to all the different things that have gone on, which in every regards I think has been a good learning experience. But you do have to be careful not to get confused and bounce out. That's why I said in the beginning, you got to have a core program, that core program that does produce quality black belts that are not just physical black belts, but great attitude, behavior, and character. And as Toby said, you've got to have a system in line to create instructors, unless you want to be the chief instructor for the rest of your life. I mean, if it is your goal to either expand or take a vacation once in a while, it's nice to see that you have developed some quality instructors and under you that are not just physical specimens, but they have the attitude, behavior, and character that your students can model and exemplify.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
We invite people to submit questions ahead of time, and if we have time, we'll open for some questions. But the one question I received before the call was, you know, on this topic, which is, what is going to happen to schools that are teaching MMA once the fad dies? And my perspective on that was interesting because I don't think this is like Taibo. And I don't think it's like Taibo from two specific different angles. One is, I don't see USC flaming out anytime soon.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, if I were going to predict, they're going to continue to get stronger, and they've got a very good spectator audience, and I think they have very smart people running the organization. I don't know the I was Fertitti brothers, but I've heard Dana White quite a bit, and I think it's going to be very strong into the future. So I don't think it's going to flame out any more than NASCAR or NFL is going to flame out anytime soon. So if that's what the person means by when the trend goes away, I can't see that happening in the near future. You know, this is different than a company is running an infomercial, which is going to have a life of its own, and it, you know, when it's done, it's done. Mm-hmm. On the other side is, I question whether this is a fad of student participation or not. I know that some schools, some of them who are very good friends of mine, have built large schools around MMA, but I don't see a grassroots upswell of participation. My analogy has always been, this is very much like, to me, one of the recent peaks of boxing was the Tyson Holyfield fight. And it had the biggest purses and some of the biggest pay-per-view audience and so forth. But I don't have numbers to support this, but I doubt if there was a groundswell of enthusiasm of people running to boxing gyms to get into boxing the week or the month after that fight. Mm-hmm. And I don't see UFC as driving participant activity. I see it as a spectator's activity. And there's always going to be a feeder system of people who want to be fighters. But I don't see that that's going to support an organization like Master Lavalle's or mine or Dave Kovar's or most people's on the call.
Not as of yet. I would agree with that. You know, and a good example is, you know, I watched Pelletier's Fight the Riz. UFC 100 was an amazing show, a great spectator event with George St. Pierre, Brock Lesnar, et cetera, right? But I didn't see the phone ringing afterwards. But last Saturday night, we hosted a Black Belt Spectacular down here, and I can count at least 10 bodies that are now back into the martial arts or enrolling in the martial arts because of that event. So that's something where I can instantly see, you know, we you know, only drew 1,000 people to watch the event, but it instantly led to new business and follow-up business. But I don't see a UFC event doing that. At least it hasn't for us yet, you know.
No. Yeah, this is, to me, this is not the equivalent of Karate Kid or the equivalent of the Tybo commercials. I mean, the Tybo infomercials were driving spectator interest, or not spectator, participant interest. And
that's the Karate Kid. Karate Kid was huge. Karate Kid was probably the biggest thing that's ever happened during our martial arts career.
Well, that's right. And at the onset of both of our careers was Enter the Dragon. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Enter the Dragon drove traffic. The Kung Fu TV series drove traffic. The Karate Kid drove traffic. Even Ninja Turtles, I think, was pretty effective for all of us at driving traffic. I don't see UFC as driving participant activity, except in a fairly small niche. Now, I do believe LA Boxing will be very successful. I believe the UFC gyms will be very successful. But what they're trying to accomplish is different than what we're trying to accomplish, and I think from what anybody on the call is trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Master Lavalle, go ahead.
You know, just to finish off with that, too, I also say that even if they do open up UFC gyms and are very successful, everybody's got to understand that's all the more reason why you got to know your niche. You got to know your core program. Because you will always be able to have a following if you are giving value to the people in your community, because people are always going to come within 3-mile radius, and that's where you're going to build your niche and develop a great following. And, you know, in any economy, you got to keep getting better. You know, if you want to see better results, you better be better. So
that's right. Let's talk about the word you just used, the economy. How has the economy in 08 and 09 affected the way that you go about thinking about your school and the way you go about marketing your school, Master Lavalle?
You know, I've always been a big believer in having a strong internal marketing approach combined with a strong external. External may be a combination of your school talks. It may be a combination of mall shows you're doing or special events or community festivals, et cetera. You know, I'm not a big proponent these days of print ads. but I do use them in conjunction with personal safety seminars or, you know, child safety and awareness, that type of stuff. However, we have for many years continued to focus on strong internal. Any dojo, any school that has 100 to 150 students, right there is a strong feeding ground to build from. And if it's done right, you will see that you can multiply your student body. But that's not going to happen if you're not serving them above and beyond the call of duty. You know, that current student body has to be wowed by you, your staff, your team, whether you're a one-man operation or a five-person operation. It's got to have a good synergy, a good energy, and a good feel to it. Like I said earlier, every student's got to feel better after they've taken a class versus when they first walk in. Because if they leave beat up mentally, physically, or emotionally, they're not coming back, and they're certainly not going to be bringing their friends back. But if they leave feeling empowered, exhilarated, energized, they're going to talk about it. And we use a phrase called shout from the rooftops. At the end of every class, we talk about what we're shouting from the rooftops about this week. And it might be the upcoming exam week or the upcoming buddy week or it may be the Black Belt Spectacular. There's always something that we're going to be spearheading at each class, at each event. And, you know, using a model, Steve, we've all watched UFC grow aggressively, but watch every one of their events, and they're always promoting the next couple events. They build excitement for the next event. And I think that's the way you got to run your classes. You got to build excitement for people to come back for the next class, for the next BBC seminar, for the next leadership seminar, for the next whatever you're promoting. It's got to be very consistent that there's something coming up again that they want to be part of. And that's the way we've been focusing for quite some time now, but even more now, because you don't want to throw money in the wrong direction because it may not feed you the way it did a few years back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, well,
Michelle, if I can jump in on that. Michelle, you touched on the primary topic that we've been spending a lot of time with our NAPMA members over the last couple of months talking about, and it's what we're going to be spending an enormous amount of time at the Extreme Success Academy in Texas. And it's basically this relationship marketing strategy. And, mm-hmm. and what you described, using your internal marketing funnels, that's all relationship. That's all relationship. And mm-hmm. what we've seen is a dramatic decline in the effectiveness of mass media marketing. We've all seen that universally. But what we are seeing is an increase in relationship marketing results. And I'll give you one example that I have new statistics on, and I still don't remember the brand exactly, but two of the premium luxury brand purse makers, right? It's you know, Louis Vuitton and Gucci, right, I believe are the two. Mm-hmm. And they both had a dramatic decline in sales beginning of last year. And what happened was one of them figured out the how to crack the code. And how they cracked the code was they brought a different unique selling proposition to the marketplace. Now, what they identified was that there were still many, many, many affluent women who wanted their stuff. Mm-hmm. They wanted the purse. But they couldn't emotionally and logically justify the purchase. Because if the neighbor across the street saw that they just bought an $800 purse, and the neighbor walked across the street and said, oh, my God, how could you possibly do that in this economy, right? See, they didn't have a good answer for that. So what they've done was they've decided to create a relationship with their prospects, and now they're buying mosquito nets for the people in Darfur, you know, in South Africa, in Africa. Every time someone makes a purchase, they donate 10 mosquito nets, right? See, now the affluent mom of the 9-year-old can go buy the $800 purse, and when the neighbor comes across the street and says, oh, my gosh, how did how could you invest in something like that? And she gets to say now, well, you know what I did was I know it was kind of an extravagance, but I funded, 15 mosquito nets for Darfur. See, now she has a way to justify that purchase, and that has to do with the relationship that Louis Vuitton built with that customer. So how have you seen that? I mean, you already identified that the mass media shift has happened. How are you guys, outside of internal marketing, building relationship with new prospects now?
Well, I think everybody is doing more, at least in our organization and in our circle of influence, is doing more to maintain a better contact, whether it be through internet marketing, using something like Constant Contact or whatever, is strengthening up the communications through a combination of face-to-face, emails, more calls, texting you can use now. There's so many more ways you can maintain a personal contact. Hey, you know, something is simple. If I could talk for a moment, Pedro Valente down in Miami runs the Valente Brothers, you know, Gracie Academy. That academy has grown so much over the last few years, and I've watched it, I've coached them, I've helped them. But it's the simple little things they do that are very relationship-driven. Here's an example. Years ago, I said, you know, I've been giving Pedro these little tips of things I see each time I attend. Something simple they do every time right now. As the student's leaving class, they shake their hand and say, when will I see you again? Where they simply shake their hand, great seeing you, did you have a great class, when will I see you again? And they do it consistently. On my birthday, right, I got a phone call from Pedro himself, just wishing me a happy birthday. The day my child was born, got a phone call directly from Pedro himself, congratulating me, right? And I know that Edward Mercer, one of my guys, trains there also. Professor Gee is his instructor, and that same thing has happened to him. So there's some simple little things that they're doing that are consistent, right, that stand out above and beyond. And it doesn't cost money as much as it takes time and thought to do it. And I think more, especially a single school operator, which is the vast majority of how all of us got started, is running one school well. Little things like that are just so important nowadays because it's, you know, as the old saying is, the little things don't mean a lot, they mean everything. Well, how many little things are you doing for your students? You know, Steve, you know that Buzz Durkin for years has ran a very successful academy in a very small demographic.
Absolutely.
And Buzz is the king of creative ways to show your students you care, whether it's sending them a card, a note, or buying them a gas card, you know, when they're going through a tough time. You know, he's just always coming up with a creative way to express we care. And that's what I think people got to think about because, you know, Toby, you mentioned relationship marketing. Well, really, marketing is relationship building. I mean, that's really what your marketing should be designed for is to open and build stronger and longer relationships. And when it comes to a student body, you know, we got to think more like martial artists and like family people within our community because that's what we're attracting. We're likely to attract people that think and act a lot like us. And I know we've been focusing a lot, you know, a year or so back I did some coaching and training with Chet Holmes, and he talks about Dream 100s, where you're looking for the Dream 100 crowd within your community. Every school, Steve, a lot of your original schools are based in Colorado. Well, whether you're talking Colorado or Syracuse, which you know you visited, is a much different demographic, but every one of those communities and everybody on this phone call has private schools likely within a 3 to 5 mile radius of their school. And those private schools are filled. There's a waiting list. Steve, your kids are probably going to private school now, am I right?
Absolutely.
And that's the point is when you find the people that are investing time, money, and resources into their families and kids, and they're in every community, and you build relationships with them. When you do a birthday party, you be aware. This is a Dream 100 birthday party. You know, one of our strategies, looking at the upcoming month of August and September and October, let's fill every weekend with birthday parties for the Dream 100 students. The people that have greater influence in the community and are likely to bring 15 or 20 kids in that come from families that go to private schools. We would never not do a birthday party for somebody that's not a Dream 100, but if we had our choice, we're going to market more to the Dream 100 target zone out there.
Yeah, you know, and what you just said is unnecessarily controversial for a lot of people, and I never understand why, but what you really want in your school is you want to surround yourself with people that you like, that are going to like you, people who are going to appreciate your school, people who are going to share the value of your school with their friends, with their neighbors, with their relatives, people who are going to be, you know, in relative terms, low maintenance, so they're not going to be complain about everything in the world, but they're going to be a positive support person in a, you know, a positive support role in your school. And there are ways of targeting that. And, you know, and it's certainly true there are people of high income who don't fit that category that you wouldn't necessarily want in your school. But what it is about is creating an environment, creating the school of your dreams based upon filling it up with people you truly would want to have there, and trying to guard yourself as much as possible against having people that don't fit that model.
And I think, Steve, the confidence to go after the middle to upper class group within your community versus lacking the confidence and accepting the lower to lower class. And hey, I came from the lower class. I was you know, a trailer park kid. You know, I am literally, you know, from the trailer park. But I prefer living on the intercoastal like I do now versus being in the trailer park. So there's always the handful of us that most of us did grow up on the other side of the tracks and did well. But to fill your school up with that crowd, you're likely to continually have contractual challenges, people that have obstacles with the time and the money, et cetera. Hey, talk another market right now, Steve. We have a large group of students that are now training with us that are from 45 to 65 years old. The common thread you see with that crowd, they want wellness, and they have two things that most younger people don't have. They have time and money. Yeah. You look at most of the younger crowd, let's say the UFC crowd, okay, maybe they got the time to train, but they don't have the money, right? Or they got the money and not the time because they're working hard to maintain it, or they don't have either. So, you know, that's why we'd rather try to get our school filled with people that are not likely to pull the plug quickly because they start and stop so many things. People that aren't as concerned about the financial side of it. And it's not that you're going to fill the school 100% with that crowd, but you sure can work to make sure that the majority of them, as Dan Kennedy would say, are people that are affected the last and the least by the swings of the economy.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And frankly, the other thing that we've both found over the years is the more you increase the value per student, meaning the tuition and what the obligations of the student is to the school, the more you do that, frankly, the more dedicated a student you get who complains less and who focuses more and who achieves more.
Yeah.
So the irony is the more you charge them, the less you get people who complain a lot about things, and the more you get them to really focus on their own development and the school's development and really achieve at the highest level. It's interesting, counterintuitive for most people to think that that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Master Oliver, you know, something that you both just touched on, I think that, again, I hate to beat the dead horse, but it's another area that we're going to be focusing a lot on in Texas, is this new emerging mass affluent part of the population, where, and Meshula Valley noticed it now anecdotally with the population in his school, but what's happening right now are the boomers kids. And there's an enormous amount of, well, let me take a half a step back. One of the new unique things in today's marketplace, right now today, is that the average American's personal savings has gone up 800% since the first of the year, which means the average American used to be spending $1.08 for every dollar they earned, right? And now they're spending only 80 cents per dollar they earn. So their personal wealth, I guess if you want to call it that, their cash wealth, has gone up by 800% since the first of the year. Now, the previous generation, the boomers, they did that intuitively. They lived through the Depression or just after, and they had enormous amounts of personal
wealth. You're talking about
wealth.
Yeah, you're talking about the generation before us.
The boomers, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, right. So what's happening now is...
I don't think Bachelor Valley or I remember the Depression.
No. The boomers' parents. They're right. They're dying, and they have wealth that they're passing down to the next generation. In fact, we're seeing this in many other niches, in the estate planning niche, and in the real estate niche, and a bunch of these other niches where there's an enormous amount of pent up wealth that now is being released into the next generation. So what Westerlo Valley is noticing in the population in the school is exactly what's happening in the general population of the United States. There's a huge chunk, a huge swath of parents who are now 50, 55, 40, 45, that are inheriting a bunch of wealth that never used to exist in the country. In fact, it was stashed in the mattress in cash, or it was buried in the backyard because much of that generation didn't believe in banks. And of course, the other big component of that is whatever value was in the home at that time. So we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about that at the Extreme Success Academy, this new emerging mass affluent part of the population, and how to go penetrate that using this relationship marketing concept.
Yeah. Well, and what Master LaValle, I think you put it very well. And, of course, we have a marvelous interview, by the way, with Chet Holmes, where he discusses that's in the NAVNA member section. Talking about specifically how to think about his terminology in terms of martial arts. But that Dream 100 is exactly right. I mean, it's figure out who you'd ideally like to surround yourself with and then go figure out where they hang out. And then once you get one, figure out how to have them so dazzled by what you're providing that they bring the rest of their circle of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Master LaValle, we're gonna have to wrap up pretty quickly here because I know we're gonna run out of your time and my time. I am ecstatic that we're gonna be able to work together in San Antonio, Texas. And Master Kovar was just telling us what a spectacular place he is. He says he proposed to his wife.
And I heard that.
Yeah. I haven't been there since I was probably 12 years old, and so I've never been.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's supposed to be a spectacular area, what I recall.
It's funny. I didn't even know I was going to. I read it in your magazine.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, at least you read the magazine, so that's a really good start. But
yes, sir.
I think this is going to be a marvelous opportunity, and let me get your take on it. Is there are the things that they normally hear from people like us, but then there's the opportunity which we really try to accomplish at an event like this is to get behind the curtain and see what both the struggles and the opportunities are, see the things that we've been challenged with, but also the things that we're finding now in 2009 and presumably in 2010 that are working in the real market today, and pulling back the curtain so that they don't get the stump speech, but they get the reality that they can go implement. And I know a lot of school owners, if I'm running a $15,000 or $20,000 or $25,000 a month single school, sometimes people like you and I seem unapproachable because obviously, with multiple schools and with multi-million-dollar operations, it seems like a too big a chasm. Mm-hmm. Explain to how what you're doing, and I know, and I will do it too, works exactly for a single school operator, and how we can apply to help them grow. And if their aspirations are to be us, that's fine. If their aspiration is to run a six-figure income out of a single school where they teach, that will work as well. Can you give them some thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, Steve, I still put my gi on one pant leg at a time. I always have, always will. I was in gi last night. I'll be in gi again tonight. I'll be at my dojo in a little while, and then I'll head down to Miami to take my jiu-jitsu class. So I'm as human and as normal as any. I'm a martial artist. That's what I am, and I happen to be a martial arts entrepreneur. But my first school, as you know, you visited it many years ago, was an 1,800-square-foot facility that I was fortunate enough to build it to over 500 students. And that was back in the early 80s. But that learning experience was phenomenal, and I'll never forget the many things I had to learn in a rapid-fire fashion, from the staff development to the grassroots marketing, to the systems and the curriculum to be able to properly handle and serve that. And then as we expanded to now I'm overseeing, 13 facilities in two different states, but it's each a single dojo in my eyes. It's just that we've developed stronger systems and we follow, time-tested, proven methods, whether it's the way to do your info call, the way you're doing your intro lesson, your enrollment procedure, your renewal upgrade procedure, your testing procedures. Running a martial arts school, I've said it many times to my own team, is simple, but it isn't always easy because it requires a consistency of energy, of focus, of action. It requires a consistency, as Buzz Durkin says, the PhD, your passion, your hunger, and your drive. If you get to a certain level that you've lost your passion, How do you fire it up? Get around people, get on these calls like this one today, come to the conventions, come to the events, attend the seminars, you know, refire up that passion. Keep your hunger. Always got to want more. You know, Dave Kovar says that all the time, happy but never satisfied. You know, you always got to want more, keeping that hunger. And then the drive, you know, keep your mojo going. Do what you got to do for decades. You know, Ilio Gracie just passed on at 95 years old. I had the pleasure of training with him 2 years ago when he was 93. I was amazed at the man. He walked in the room, dropped down on the mat, asked me to mount him and attack, you know. And here's a guy 93 years old. You're watching him get up and down on the mats. And, Steve, I know you've studied and trained and, you know, been mentored for many years by Grandmaster Jun Ri, who's now in his 70s and is an amazing man. I mean, we've got many examples to look to that can teach us that you can maintain that passion, hunger, and drive for the long haul. And I think that's a key factor, is for everybody to do what it takes to stay excited. I can remember many times, Steve, after an EFC seminar or convention, that you're just getting warmed up in conversation at about 12 midnight and ready to go until about 2 or 3. That's about the time I doze off, because, you know, I'm the opposite of you. I'm the early to rise guy. Right? But the point is, I think when people come to events like this and they want to really learn it, you, me, all winners started as beginners, and you got to start somewhere. And for them to be in an event like this, or any of the events that they're going to go to, I saw you at the Super Show, that's an event. You get around other successful martial artists, something's bound to rub off, and you're bound to leave at least with one great idea.
Well, that's right. And you know, one of the quotes I remember with Tony Robbins that I've always enjoyed is, if you can't, you must, right? And I know a lot of people in this kind of economy feel either financially stressed or they're just nervous about their finances, and they're timid about going out and doing things like this. And, you know, and in most cases, getting on a plane and flying, you know, a third of the way or halfway across the country to do something. What would you say to the guy who's feeling a little stressed and he's hesitant about doing something like this?
Nike, just do it. just do it. You know, I think you always got to come up with more reasons why you should than you shouldn't, because you could talk to your students could talk themselves out of training, right? But you've got to constantly remind them why they should do it, you know, whether it be the flexibility, the strength, the endurance, the weight loss, the stress relief, the fun, et cetera. But same thing here. When you come to a weekend like this, what's to say that you don't leave and see an immediate increase and your income, your student count, your whole approach towards the martial arts? What's to say that you don't get around Dave Kovar and he just re-energizes your love for your martial arts, because he has a tendency to do that? You know, what's to say you don't get around, you know, yourself or Master Clark and just think a little bit bigger about what you're doing and have greater confidence to what you're doing? You know, finishing, Steve, I saw an interview with Warren Buffett, and they asked his opinion of, you know, Barack Obama. He says, my opinion is this, we got to get behind the man. He's the man that's leading, right? Let's listen to him and follow what he's saying. Because if people are uncertain about what to do in any economy, that's not healthy. If they're confused, if they're nervous, that's not a good place to be. Well, it's the same thing with us as martial artists. We got to get around people that really do lead. And you just mentioned many that have been running schools for decades and running them successfully. You know, Jeff Smith has not changed his formula a heck of a lot, but that formula has worked very well for him for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah, and they're very, very consistently running a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month school for many, many, many years. I think over 30 years in some of those specific locations. I know he's been in the multi-school arena since the mid 70s.
And I can say now, in this account, my wife runs the Fort Lauderdale school. She's consistently in the $75,000 range doing that. You know, Craig Haley, a 31-year-old guy running a 3,000 square foot school, he's consistently $50,000 and up every month. I'm going to go on and on with people in my own organization, as well as, you know, Steve Stone running a Krav Maga school. His EFC check alone is $80,000-something right now. So there's a lot of people that are doing it. But we got to realize that, hey, wherever we're at, let's just think, how do we get 10, 20% up? Don't worry about what the rest of the crowd's doing. Let's learn from them, and then what can we apply that's going to take us up that extra 10, 20%? And if you can keep doing that kind of growth, you know, double-digit growth, 10, 20% year in, year out, eventually that leads to a very nice number.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I think the most important thing, and I know you and I went through it both about the same time in the early 80s, is just getting your mind around the fact that it's doable. You know, I had the you know, the born with a silver spoon syndrome of being in the Junior Institute back in the in their heyday in the late 70s. But if you just believe that it's doable, and then listen to the ideas from people who have actually done what it is you want to do with a belief system that is capable for you, that's really 80% of the battle. And then of course the rest of it is go actually do the things that you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So, very good. I know we're about out of time, and Toby, you wanted to give the people on the call some bonuses and some other opportunities, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I mean, you've been able to pull off this amazing feat once again in reconvening the Summit of Martial Arts Millionaires, which again is you, Steve LaValle, Dave Kovar, Keith Hafner, who's going to be providing us with a very special presentation, Bill Clark. And then this huge team of Jeff Smith, and this huge team of proven experts. So I mean, it's really an amazing opportunity at this event in San Antonio. But what we've got for everybody who had joined us on the call today is several special bonuses. Number one is you can attend a free one-day extraordinary marketing seminar on October the 7th, which is 2 days prior to the main event. And that's absolutely free just for being on the call today. All you have to do is get a hold of our people at the office at area code 727-540-0500. You can also do it online, but it's probably easier just to call them at the office. And they're there from 9 to 6 Eastern time. You'll get that free one-day extraordinary marketing seminar, which is normally at least $1,000 for a day. Normally it's $2,100 for the full seminar, but it's $997 for the day. You can also register.
Why is it
register.
Sounding like you're making me work a lot harder than I thought I was?
Well, you had volunteered for a couple of things, sir, that you may not have remembered.
Okay.
I kept good notes.
Okay. But and what you might add, Toby, is that there are three people who can answer any of their questions and help them out there at the office right now. They'd be best to call now, and if they do get a voicemail, call back in a few minutes as soon as they get done with the other people who are going to call them. So they are going to be pretty hectic, but they're on a direct line right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've got a website here too, but there's a couple of other additional bonuses as well. We're also having during that event, during the Extreme Success Academy event, we're having a free staff training day where it's actually like three quarters of a day, but we have free staff training sessions for any of the staff members that you're bringing with you to the show. And we're going to split them off, and we have some very specific goals for staff members that are very different than what we're going to be accomplishing with school owners, primarily for staff members. We're definitely going to be giving them, tried and true scripts for info call, intro one, intro two, renewal prep, renewal, that sort of thing. Tried and true systems. But the big thing that we're trying to accomplish, and we do very successfully accomplish with our staff training sessions, is empowering them to be your personal implementer, to be able to implement your personal vision for the school and anchoring them into you and the industry as a whole, which I think is often overlooked in the average martial arts school. I think that we get sometimes too caught up with exactly how to answer the phone and exactly how to do, exactly what they need to do it on a day-to-day basis. But it's extremely important to create little miniature Roy Disneys, where Roy was the implementing influence of Walt's bigger vision. And without both of them, neither would have had Disney World, right? I mean, they had to have the visionary entrepreneur, which is you, the school owner, but you also have the detail-oriented, focused implementer, which is the staff member. And they can enormously alleviate your day-to-day struggles. So that's our primary focus with staff members.
Something that's worth pointing out is too many times you take staff to a large event, and they come back with counterproductive ideas rather than knowing and being told and prepped that they're there in a support role to implement the systems that you're giving them. And what we're really looking to do is to build up the owner to have the owners, staff members really excited about the opportunity that they're receiving, and to really have them come back ready to implement at the highest level in an appropriate way.
Yeah, and actually, I have a I'll leave his name out just for privacy reasons. But I had a really nice email when we got back from the last event from one of our P-Performer members who the headline in the email was "What did you do to my staff?" Exclamation point. And I was like, "Oh dear, what happened?" Right? But the paragraph was that when he was on the plane on the way back with both of his staff members. Both of them, they all sat in a row of three seats, and they both pulled out the leak pads and said, "Mr. School Owner, one thing I'm unclear about is exactly what is your vision for this school?" And they went for the entire 2.5-hour plane ride back to Canada and bullet-pointed exactly what his vision was, what his goals were for the school. It's something that they had never known, something they had never really been exposed to. So that's the objective of that.
Toby, what is the phone number that they need to call before we're out of our time allotment on this call?
Absolutely. It's area code 727-540-0500. Or you can visit extremesuccessacademy.com. And when you're challenged to enter your member level, tell it that you're a Maximum Impact member, and our staff members will be able to intercept that. And they'll facilitate these free bonuses for you as well.
Yeah, you'll need to make sure you do that within the day so that the bonuses come with that registration. Is that correct, Toby?
That's exactly right. They've got this system set up until Friday morning, so if you register tonight or tomorrow, you'll be able to get the free seminar and all this stuff. And in addition, we have a one-on-one business analysis that will pop everybody through and sort of give everybody a personalized action plan for immediately what to implement following the show. But you're exactly right. They've got this afternoon and tomorrow, and then Friday morning, I think at 11 a.m., that expires online. So you'll want to do that right away.
Well, great. Well, Master LaValle, I am tremendously looking forward to us all being in the same room and pulling back the curtain and showing people both what they have to do to go from a small school to a medium-sized school and what they can do to grow to unimagined heights to begin with. So thank you very much for your contributions today.
And, my pleasure. Great talking to you both.
And we're going to have a lot of fun with Bill Clark and Keith Hafner and Jeff Smith and Dave Kovar and a constantly expanding group of phenomenal martial arts school owners.
I look forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Right,
and Toby, do you want to give everybody that phone number again? Because I know I didn't catch it. It was 727.
Yes, sir. It's 727-540-0500, or you can visit extremesuccessacademy.com, and you'll select I'm a Maximum Impact member during your registration process, and that will queue our staff up to catch your registration. And they'll probably call you to verify everything, because it is kind of a special offer that we're only making available to the people on this call. So they'll likely contact you and verify everything with you, give you full and complete dates and times and travel schedules and all that sort of stuff, and we'll make sure we take very good care of you.
Yeah, and that is going to be in beautiful San Antonio, Texas. It's the second weekend and earlier in the week in October. And I think it's going to be a phenomenal event. So call the office, talk to Bob, Steve, or Jason, and
Brian.
They will Brian, and sorry, and they will get you taken care of.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Milroy, and thanks again to Dave Kovar and to my good friend Master Steve LaValle. And we're gone for the day, I believe. Here.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.